We've always said that we're not building the metaverse, you are. And I think today you can see a really great cross-section of very high-quality founders.
So we have quite a conversation for our dear audience today. And maybe I'm going to start to kind of frame the conversation better and some high-level introductions. And of course, we'll deep dive into each one of the amazing founders on the line today. But we also have some superstars with us. We have Aaron McDonald, the co-founder of Futureverse and Born Ready, a board member and advisor to more than a dozen of venture companies. So maybe to kick off the conversation, I do need to acknowledge and congratulate you, Aaron, on the amazing announcement that recently came out. I'm just maybe going to tease it and not say too much because I think it's best coming from you. But I think the recent announcement about Open, the triple A game under the Rediverse umbrella game experience, I would call it an experience, it's of huge importance to the broader gaming and metaverse ecosystem. Here at Outlier Ventures, we've been huge supporters of Futureverse from early on, and it's because our values are very much aligned. We both believe in the concept of the open metaverse, all digital spaces interconnected that start at a data layer and kind of permeate through decentralized compute and are at its core are user-centric and optimized for user onboarding. And of course, that exciting announcement also features other portfolio companies that contribute to this amazing project, which is Walker World. And here at Outlier Ventures, we always do our best to drive portfolio collaborations. So to kick off, Aaron, again, congratulations, and would love to hear from you maybe a bit more about the announcement. We're going to deep dive into it later in the space. And I would also love to hear from you. Right now, the Root Network, the chain of the Futureverse ecosystem, is riding the wave of its amazing success. To kick off the discussion, I would love to hear from you and maybe outline to our audience, what do you find are the core success drivers of the Root Network, as we know it, TRN?
Yeah, thanks, man. And thanks for the very kind introduction. I don't think I'm a superstar at all. I'm just a builder out here trying to make a difference in the world. We were extremely excited to get this trailer out. And as you rightly pointed out, another collaboration between outlier portfolio companies, which I think is something that is starting to become a pattern. We announced later last year, the Crucible and Emergence partnership and investment as well. And so that's another portfolio company coming into the mix. And all the three of those will be working together when we get Open out into the wild. So really exciting times. Open being the first AAA gaming experience with AAA IP being built on Web3 technology is, I think, both exciting and a big responsibility. And teams kind of been, I guess, working up to this moment for over a year now to set out there in the wild and to get the reception that we've got has been amazing. And we've been very deliberate about going out there and calling it Open so that we can genuinely show the world the power of Web3 in gaming. I think one of the things that has let down the entire community is the notion of Web3 gaming not really delivering on the promise that it has for and the potential that it has for consumers. And I think a lot of that comes down to the fact that Web3 is focused on ownership without giving the keys to users to drive that car, which is interoperability. Having ownership with no interoperability is like owning a dog that can only live in your neighbor's garage. You know, it's kind of pointless. And so that's really what the Root Network's all about, is building the protocols and the data layer for interoperability so that the promise of Web3 gaming can actually come to life through a whole host of experiences, including Open. And you look at the stack now that kind of has come together around Futureverse and the Root Network, I think you can start to see the whole picture where we have, you know, at the core of this, you know, the anchor of it all is the Root Network. And on top of that, we're building protocols that create interoperability powered by Silo for the data and social layer and Asto for the intelligence layer. On top of that, we build the tools that enable that content creation. So these are things like DOT, Dynamic Object Transformer, so the pipelines for creating those interoperable characters, DOC, which is the Dynamic Object Creator. This is the 3D AI generation tool that people can now leverage to, you know, as a consumer to create game-ready 3D assets that are interoperable. And Gen, you know, for generating the music and sounds to make these worlds come alive. And then on top of that, you know, a host of experiences, but really kind of the flagship for consumer activations will be based around Open and the Readyverse as our kind of tent peg for mass consumer adoption. So put all of that together and you've got a very powerful ecosystem and set of tools and the chance to really demonstrate to the world what the Open Metaverse really means. And really excited to kind of be at this time and at this moment to be able to do that.
Amazing. And I have to say, I saw some of what the tech can do in a demonstration at XRPL event in Amsterdam, and it just totally blew me away. I also love your metaphor about the dog that can only live in your neighbor's garage in context of interoperability. The example I usually go for is, I am sending you a Christian Dior suit, but with a contract that you can only wear it in your toilet. So I think...
Exactly.
All right, perfect. So maybe enough with the ample metaphors for interoperability. But yes, so here at Outlier Ventures, we try to drive those synergies between Portfolio, Futureverse, Walker World, and of course, Crucible, as you mentioned. And to scale up that friendship with Futureverse, we set forth this amazing initiative, Futureverse Basecamp. 7 amazing teams, amazing builders, each one driving basically a different use case, but all of them united behind this common vision of the open metaverse. That program received a record-breaking 500 applications. So with 1.4 admission rate, the program is harder to get into than Harvard University. So maybe with that in mind, that's a perfect segue to start introducing some of our teams that will also tell us a bit more about their plans to grow with the Futureverse ecosystem as you are on this amazing scale-up trajectory. And of course, Aaron, if you want to chime in on their plans and maybe give them some other extra ideas, never hesitate to grab the mic. Some, because we love all of our portfolio equally, I'm going to go in alphabetical order and I'm going to start with Introverse, gaming as a service platform for user acquisition, engagement, and retention through cross-community gamified experiences. Zoe, Mortis, are you with us? Grab the mic and say hello to our audience. Tell us a bit more about yourself.
GM, what's up? What's up, everyone? How are you doing, Blake?
All Gucci.
Amazing.
GM, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me in the space. We are talking about some cool shit in collaboration with Outlier Venture and Futureverse. And this is Zoe, co-founder of Introverse, CEO, but there is also the COO, Mortis, my co-founder behind the PFP of Introverse. Mortis, are you there?
Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Mortis is probably drinking something with friends. I'm not sure if he's going to talk, but welcome and thank you to having me here. Introverse is a gaming as a service platform, as Blake introduced, and we are actually taking care about engagement, especially, but also user acquisition and retention, so loyalty of NFT collections, brands, IPs, games. And so far, we are having such an amazing experience with Outlier Venture. We got a real boost, guys, and I couldn't ask for anything better than these. It's probably interesting to consider this program not only $100,000, but it's like $300,000 because the expertise of people and all the G's that are working in Outlier Venture really blew my mind away. Honestly, I met some of the most amazing people there, not mentioning also that I'm really enjoying all the startups in the batch. We are like having a great synergy, helping each other. It's a sort of a second family, if I can say. And so far, we are so happy about the results as well. We are going forward really smoothly. It's been one of the best choices so far in Introverse to get into this acceleration program. And we are also deep diving with Connor. I don't know if Connor is tuned inside the space, but I would really like to say thank you to Connor because he's helping us to develop cool stuff inside Futureverse, and we are getting in touch with projects that are already inside Futureverse. We would really like to bring to life some of our experiences inside Futureverse and bring our communities there, because there's so much that they are offering and it's so engaging. So it's really a great match for us. And yeah, so far, I think I've said everything, but I'm really in love with everyone, literally with Blake and Robert and everyone, Onika and the Regine. Everyone really is like unique and gave us, you know, best advices. And yeah, I'm getting emotional, guys. I'm kind of sad it's going to finish soon, like in the mid of April, right, Blake?
Yes, indeed. We love you too. And yeah, I think this is, before we move on to the next team, thank you, Zoe, for this. A big shout out to Connor from Futureverse. And also a big part of the program is the ecosystem of mentors that is formed around the program. A lot of super experienced founders, investors, connectors, amazing people in the space that all contribute to the success of the teams you're seeing here today. And I see some mentor faces in the audience. So lots of love and a big shout out. All right. Thank you, Zoe. Moving on to the next team for an intro. GymVibe, the inaugural product of Lifelike Digital to enable everyone to access the benefits of spatial web-based AI-powered personal trainer. Carl, can you hear us? Are you with us?
Hi there. I'm Carl from New Zealand. It's great to be here. I just want to plus everything that Zoe just said. It's just been an amazing ride, really wild, and just a massive eye-opener. And everyone at Outlier and Futureverse has just been amazing. It's just been a really wild ride. We're developing digital human technology for the metaverse. So what that means is we're creating AI-powered avatars that have a depth of personality and behave in natural ways. So the first product we're going for is called GymVibe, which is a digital personal trainer platform in AR, so specifically for XR devices such as the Meta Quest and Apple Vision. So when you put on the headset, it's like you can actually see the digital personal trainer right in your living room or virtually wherever and interact with them as you would a real personal trainer. So what does that mean for Web3 and other decentralized technology? There's two kind of key pieces, and that's the AR or XR or spatial computing, whatever you want to call that, and then the digital humans. That's the piece of it that we're bringing to it. So there's a massive paradigm shift in the way that technology is heading, that the digital world is coming into the real world. We're blending digital with reality. Right now, a lot of people are still thinking of it as a digital layer on top of the physical world, but it's actually going to be far more mixed than that, and it's going to be more and more blended together as we integrate digital, you know, decentralized technology. So to really appreciate what that means, we need to step away from our desks and look at real-world behaviors. And I think both Aaron and you, Blake, touched on, you know, some metaphors there. And similar to, like, owning a pair of Nikes and wanting to go into an Adidas store, you know, no one's going to bounce you at the door because you're their users, right? You're their customers. So it's very similar to that. With digital humans, it's the same thing in XR. It's like, our personal trainers are coming into your space, right? So it's they're kind of like guests in your home. Because you're at home, you've got all your stuff laying around and, you know, you should be able to use it the same as you would your real stuff. So your digital stuff should be available. You should be able to use it and mix it up however you want. So yeah, currently that's the opportunity that Futureverse is creating for companies like Lifelike Digital. And we want to like integrate all of it. It's all on our roadmap, starting with Future Pass and moving into swappables, generative music, AI, and, you know, just really mixing it up. And there's no limit to it, really. So yeah, we're super excited about the opportunity here.
No limits to the opportunity indeed. And Carl, let me just tell you, ever since I mentioned GymVibe to my personal trainer, he is having anxiety attacks about being replaced by your tech.
No, I think that's a common thing. And we're not replacing anything or anyone. We're just creating other options for people so that, you know, it's just creating more flexibility and being able to work in your own space or on your own schedule. But yeah, it's all just about expanding.
I think also for trainers and personalities and celebrities, there's the opportunity for them to extend how many people they can support.
Absolutely.
You know, if you've got great content and you can only do a certain number of personal sessions as a trainer, well, now you can scale yourself. Or if you want to work out with your favorite celebrity, we bring those celebrities into this type of content and you can do that too. So I think it's kind of extending possibilities rather than replacing people.
Yeah, that's actually a better way to put it. Absolutely. It's all about scalability. So, you know, just putting your brand out there 24/7 working for you. That's massive opportunity.
Great point. And also working out when we travel, right? Which is always a challenge. So I think that's an amazing segue to introduce the next team. MidPass, a recommend to earn app, rewarding a community of travelers for sharing the recommendations, incentivizing a global travel companion ecosystem. Sam, Aaron, are you with us? The stage is yours for the taking.
Well, that was very smooth. Like, GM, love the segue from working out. I was a personal trainer in another life, so I've been following the life like journey this entire time. So it's awesome to see that all come together. Yeah, so MintPass is a travel companion app. Our entire spiel is that we don't want to take away from that travel experience. A lot of the competitors we see in the space are in the travel space specifically. You'll go on your trip and then you'll have to take hours out of your day to make sure it's logging the location correctly. It'll get exactly where you are. And that's just not fun. If you're traveling, you're going there to enjoy the experience. So we want to be there with you and make it easier for you to log those experiences so you can recommend them to others and then not take away from that actual travel experience. So we're in alpha right now, kind of segueing into our beta. We're hoping to go live next month. We've got some cool gamification on the platform as well. My background prior to this in yet another life, I used to play games for money. So I'm a big gamification advocate, because if it could hook me enough to make it so that I was making a slight career out of it, I think building it into ecosystems is awesome. And that's sort of where Web3 screams to me, where we can gamify things so much easier with some of the tech that's out here. And so we have a traveler score. So as you travel and make recommendations, that traveler score goes up. And we'll obviously find ways to make it so that you want that traveler score to go up outside of just appearing on the leaderboard. As of right now, if you want to try to get into the beta a little bit sooner than other people, you can sign up on our wait list. That's over at mintpass.com. So we're pretty excited to be building on Root Network. So we're going to be taking advantage of some of the tech that they've built out. So I get to save time and make features rather than build out some infrastructure like Future Pass. Even if you don't have a wallet, you can get on. And we're obviously targeting avid travelers, and a lot of us in Web3 travel all the time. So if you're going to be at any of these upcoming Web3 events, feel free to reach out. I'll be speaking at NFT New York. I think my co-founder here, Sam, will be. Sam would be on right now chatting, but he's traveling. So he's eating the dog food. So we're getting some awesome feedback from him. And we'd love, if you're an avid traveler, to reach out. We'd love to get some feedback from you as well.
Amazing. It's all about building your personal experiences, building out your story, traveling across many locations. And I think, again, if you excuse a segue, that's a great introduction for New Canon, leveraging advanced AI for co-creative storytelling to generate lore-consistent characters, locations, quests, and dialogues in gaming and entertainment. Nilu, please take it away.
Hey, Blake. Thanks for the intro. I'm Nilu. I'm the founder and CEO of New Canon. So with the intro, we basically are building a game design tool to build lore-consistent worlds and stories. The metaverse is a massively promising opportunity, but one of the biggest drawbacks we keep seeing again and again is community engagement on metaverses aren't super well crafted at the moment. And that's because a lot of the fact is to do with the community lore of metaverses and community engagement is quite not there yet. So what we are building is a platform using like vector databases and graph databases to help game designers build more lore-consistent worlds which they can just hand off to their communities to keep creating really strong narratives and arcs and devices within established guardrails and frameworks of their world. And we're integrating a lot with Futureverse. They actually gave us two super cool game designers that we're talking to and building product out with right now. So they've been really helpful in that. And also, we're going to be integrating a lot with their like specific game design tools like Doc and Document Object, and also the DOT, and also Gen AI for music as well. So there's going to be a lot of integrations with TRN and Root Network, and there's going to be a lot of like branching narrative arcs and branching storylines in the worlds we create, which will be really powerful for the metaverses that and the open metaverse that Futureverse wants to create.
Amazing. And today I basically almost missed a meeting because I was playing with Nilu's tech. So
very excited for the things to come from New Canon. What an experience it is. And Aaron made a great point about finding, you know, a better experience for all of those users and delivering. So based on that, Plurality Network connects web to social data with web-free accounts that users selectively share with the centralized apps for a fully personalized experience. And Hira, I would love to hear from you, our superstar builder.
Hi, I'm Hira. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Plurality. But first, I want to explain why we call our product Plurality. So Plurality basically represents plural aspects of a human personality. So as humans, every one of us has different personas and we act differently in different contexts. For example, here in this Twitter space, we are acting differently. But as soon as we shut down this Twitter space, go back to our homes, we'll act completely differently because we have these different personas. And similarly, when we use internet, these different personas manifest as profiles. For example, on Twitter, you act differently. On LinkedIn, you act more professionally. On Instagram, you maybe act more personally. These are because these are manifestations of our personas. But if you see how Web3 is currently, Web3 only has wallets and Web3 has no concept of a profile. And because of that, there is no user context. And because there is no user context, the dApps don't even know how to engage their users. And therefore, Web3 has user retention problem. They cannot engage their users because they just don't know what this specific hash address really wants, because it's just a hash address. They don't know what is the human behind this wallet. So we at Plurality, we are creating a social context layer, which would enable smart profiles. And using these smart profiles, users would be able to plug their different profiles into different dApps across any platform, across any blockchain. And by using the information from these profiles, the dApps would be able to get rid of their cold start problem and provide users with a better engaging experience. And this actually aligns perfectly with the Futureverse concept of open metaverse as well, because just like assets should be able to be interoperable across different platforms, similarly, humans or profiles should also be pluggable across different dApps. For the past few years, we've always been talking about infrastructure, but if now, like since last year, we've all been talking about SocialFi or social platforms or games or immersive experiences, but there is a huge piece of the puzzle that's missing, and that's actually profiles. So yeah, that's what we're building.
Amazing. And coming from a world-class builder, Hira. All right, lovely. Moving on, I would love to introduce the next team and the team that spices up your experience. Team Wrecked Infrastructure to build user-generated wagering markets and create P2P competitions with the help of machine learning technology. Alex, the stage is yours.
Yeah, hi everyone. Alex from Wrecked is here. Yeah, thanks for having me, and I love to be here today. Wrecked actually is a platform for all on-chain wagering stuff with user behavior and user-generated markets. So it's like a wager on gaming, on social activities, make predictions, or create your own markets. And our goal is actually to become a one-stop wagering destination for all Futureverse and rooted network ecosystems. And I would say we actually already started working on it. We are about to release our second MVP on the Forecaster ecosystem. But I hope in early April, we will be able to showcase the results from the collab with Futureverse. So give us some time to cook, and very soon we will drop a banger for all communities, for Wrecked, for Outlier Ventures, and for Futureverse, of course.
All right, amazing. Looking forward to you dropping that banger. That will create a spark that will ignite the fire. So talking about sparks, Spark integrates crypto and traditional finance payments, making it easy to build customer payments flow that work across chains and with any token without needing expensive blockchain developers. Adam.
Yeah, no one does the smooth intros better than you, Blake. You're a pro. So yeah, I'm Adam Spark. We're working on some of the hard problems in crypto payments. So basically improving the experience so users don't have to worry about what chain they're on or what token they have. We're probably most well known for handling the $28 million Polkoin ICO sale. So our MVP made that into a multi-chain mint where people could pay in whatever currency they wanted, really. People often assume that gaming mints are always on ETH, but actually they took 3 million in Solana that day, and it shows you if you clear away the barriers and you just make it easy for people to give you money, you acquire more users and you make more cash that way. So It's a good MVP for us, and we're kind of moving on now. So we have 20 other games and metaverse experiences and physical stores as well we're working with. And Futureverse is super exciting for us. So we're working with Connor and the other guys there to bring that kind of interoperability and flexibility to that ecosystem. We've already added Root to our checkout. So anyone using a Spot checkout could pay with Root, regardless of the chain they're on already. And that's just kind of the start. Like we're talking to them about all these different gaming experiences you might have feasibly on that platform and just how to make all that work smoothly for the user. And that's a really hot topic. So I go on a lot of like Web3 gaming spaces, and all we ever actually talk about on those things is user experience and payments and onboarding. And that shows kind of how early we are in that space. Like really, I'm just the boring guy from the infrastructure company. Like I shouldn't even get invited on, but that's all we're really talking about. And hopefully we make some progress in the coming years and we start talking about more about the games and the actual metaverse experiences there. One of the reasons we first wanted to come on the program was actually not just because I love the Ready Player One book, but really that ethos that Futureverse have around the openness of the ecosystem. It's very much a good fit with what Spark are building and what we kind of want to achieve through what we do. So we're really excited to work with these guys. I've personally got a really big passion for Web3 gaming and the metaverse as well. I spend a lot of time playing all the new stuff that's coming out this year. And my other co-founders are always like, bro, don't forget Spark needs to work for real world, like bike shops and flower shops as well. And I'm just like, nah, like, these guys will all just be building digital items in the metaverse anyway. Don't worry about those guys. But thank you very much for having me. Look forward to hearing from everyone today.
Yeah, and Adam, it's not boring at all to be solving usability issues. I think that's the most exciting thing we can be doing in Web3.
Amazing. And, you know, I might have my way with intros, but Adam, you just gave me an amazing segue. So I want to throw the mic back to Aaron because, you know, the open experience under the Readyverse umbrella, it's underpinned by the iconic IP of Ready Player One that hugely influenced the mainstream perception of what open metaverse could look like. There are big names being thrown around and a lot of star power behind it. Aaron, could you share more? I think everybody in the audience is super eager to hear it.
Yeah, I think the things that we can share is that it's all developing very well. And, you know, the minute we put out the announcement, we started to get a lot of inbound from studios and IP holders and talent who wanted to be a part of what we're building. And that's only really continued to build since then. We just came back from a few days at South by Southwest where we premiered the trailer of Open. And that has, again, ignited another fuse for more IP, more talent, more brands to come and try and work out how we can collaborate with them. If you go to the Readyverse website, you can see now there's kind of three core product value propositions there. Open, which we've talked a lot about, is one of those where you can start to have integrate IP or brand experiences or gamified consumer engagement inside of Open as a premier kind of open world environment. But I think one of the most exciting things that we're doing hasn't got quite the same amount of attention, but it will start to over time. And you can go and have a little bit of a preview or overview of the Readyverse launcher. Those who've been following the Futureverse ecosystem, you would have seen us experimenting with this with the release of the Next Legends Muhammad Ali AI-powered boxing game and shortly the Races AI-powered karts game, showing how we can start to aggregate gaming content. The story of Ready Player One is this story of a world where interoperability exists and you can jump from experience to experience. And so, you know, a key to building the open metaverse on one hand is providing these tent poles like Open that can bring consumers in to the ecosystem. But we wouldn't be doing our job if we weren't enabling every independent developer out there who's building the space to have a platform to discover users and connect those experiences in an interoperable way. And so the Readyverse experience, which we'll start to share a little bit more about, I think is going to be a very exciting opportunity. There really isn't a home for the open metaverse in Web3 for immersive experiences. And there's no better IP to bring that together and make it something that consumers want to engage with than Ready Player One. So we're excited to unveil what that means and show how that experience is going to be very different to what perhaps you might have seen in the past from last generation marketplaces and launches.
Amazing. Thank you, Aaron, for that insight. Dear audience, you heard it here first, unless you were at South by Southwest. And talking about insights, let's bring some insights from our amazing founders from the Futureverse Basecamp. So we're talking a lot about gaming and immersive experiences. Alex, if I want to spice it up between friends, maybe a friendly wager, how can we ensure it's open and transparent?
Let me describe first how Rekt works, actually. We take literally any real-world data, any API, any data source, doesn't matter. We process all this data into metrics, and then our Rekt Oracle generates a smart contract that represents a market. So this market is a smart contract itself, and smart contracts actually are open for everyone and transparent by definition, actually. And during later stages, you will be able to enter our platform, like ask the bot, like what you want to wager and around what you want to wager. We process your request with AI and provide you a smart contract plus application on top of it to wager. So it's pretty simple.
Very smart indeed. Thank you, Alex. So Nilu, how can we make gaming development easier with some lore?
Yeah, so when you think of like IP and basically universes, the basic building blocks of a universe, the characters, the story, the relationships that you have with the characters in the story, and all of the basic lore and the world building, and all of that takes so long to make. And it basically means that games take like 7-8 years in development time just to build out the world and the environments. And like, that's a big pain point for a lot of game studios and a lot of metaverses, which is why like a lot of them are quite engaged with us at the moment, because we help speed that up, essentially. So one of the game designers told us they helped save over 8 hours of like building and brainstorming all of that content to basically help shrink their development costs and the development time. So now once you've built all the core rules of a world, you can give that and empower fans to basically build out their own personal arcs and their own personal storylines within the world that you have, which is like one of the reasons why like Wizarding World was like the Harry Potter game was such a major success, right? And the other thing is like we did a couple of prototypes with existing IPs for like Dragon Age, for example, and people seem to really love it, and that has brought in a lot more studios who want to work with us in building out consistent lore databases, which then can be sent to their fans to engage and play with, right? Because those are fundamentally the building blocks of IP, and that's what we're helping game studios build.
All right, amazing. And I'm sure if there are gaming developers in the audience, they're super excited about making their life easier. So, you know, gaming, immersive experiences, all that attention on the open metaverse concept. Adam, with so many brands, so much IP entering the open metaverse, why token payments soon might be as common as fiat payments, if not preferred?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will take a few years to get there, but I believe it will become true personally. I think the natural currency of a metaverse is digital. Even today, like chains like Solana and some Ethereum L2s are already cheaper and more efficient than traditional payment rails, which have built on outdated technology, I think, from the 60s. And it's easier to send crypto across the world than it is to send fiat already. All right. So in my opinion, it's kind of inevitable that will happen. It's a question of when. And I don't think it will be, you know, within 2 or 3 years. But, you know, there's a lot of good data around 2030 that this will be in very, very common usage. And I think more so in kind of metaverse and gaming, because user acquisition here is the most important thing to builders in this space. And I think tokens and digital currencies are going to be key incentives that bring people onto these platforms. And we'll move beyond this world where gamers are just treated as consumers. And I think digital currencies can be the kind of knockout punch that brings people over to these new experiences, where let's imagine you've got two identical gaming experiences. One of them harvests your data and costs you money, and one of them respects your time and shares rewards with you. It's not hard to figure out which one of these is going to win in the end. And I think we'll also see an ecosystem where gamers are rewarded for their time, rewarded for their attention. And many of them will also become part of these worlds as creators and contributors. They'll make content, they'll create their own in-game fashion, in-game skins, selling their progress and characters that they create. And I think, you know, the digital currency is the natural way for people to be rewarded in those activities and also trade between themselves. And I think you know, it's just a matter of time before that happens.
I think these are great points, right? It's all about engaging the community, engaging the individuals and making it a better experience for them. So Mortis, I would love you to take the mic and tell us, you know, is gaming the new way to engage communities and bring people together?
Yeah, for sure. So I believe, you know, gaming is we see as the new media. So if we were looking at the communities that, like, say, companies that 10 years ago, every company was becoming a digital company and like a tech company 5 years ago, 6 years ago, every company was becoming, let's say, a fintech company. Now we see this wave that all the companies are becoming a gaming company. Why? Because they see that is a new kind of engagement, engagement layer, engagement mechanics. So look at all the brands we call Web2 brands, but I mean brands that all we know, they are entering inside the gaming because they see that they can engage more their customers. So let me just make an example. The CMO of one of the biggest fashion brands, when you talk to them, they don't say, for example, another fashion and luxury brand is their competitor. They say also Netflix or also YouTube are their competitors because they get their consumer attention. So they see gaming as a new frontier of the engagement because they can engage their customers. They can, so the customer and the clients can spend more time with them. And in this case, of course, the monetization is the consequence. So if the person is using 1 hour each day a Gucci application, probably Gucci can do the monetization much better than, rather than if they use maybe 5 minutes per day just for a simple purchase. So we see that, you know, gaming is becoming a new media, a new channel for the brand, and everybody is entering the brand. Some examples, of course, one of the biggest examples here is about Futureverse, Ready Player One, Disney with Fortnite. And so this is, you know, I think that how we are seeing that the brand is evolving through the relationship with their customers.
Gaming especially is the new frontier of engagement, and that's really the future for brands. So just to make an example for Nike, usually a user on their website spends for a session like 5 minutes. And what they are noticing right now on their Roblox experience, that on an average, a user is spending 20 minutes over there. And what we do in Introverse for brands, it is exactly to bring that engagement back on the brand. That's why we also have these white label solution. So those 20 minutes that are on the gaming platform, they're brought back on the main website because it's through gaming that they can, you know, increase the spending time of that user on their own website. And that's why a lot of gaming companies and brands are, you know, getting in touch. And what we do in Introverse is to create, you know, quick activations, gaming activation, putting in touch, you know, templates, so gaming studios and brands.
It makes sense. And, you know, it's all about experience, right? And Hira, from community to individual, how can we improve the experience of users within each app across the metaverse?
Until now, we have been talking about engaging people through gamification, and that I agree 100%. Gamification is a great way to engage consumers. But there's actually another way that all the current social platforms engage users, and that's by showing them relevant content and giving them recommendations based on their interests. For example, on YouTube or on Netflix, they recommend you the movies or the shows or the music that you would be interested in. Similarly, on Facebook or on Twitter, your feed is curated. Like, each one of us has different feed because it's curated based on what we're interested in. But on Web3 platforms, that's not possible currently because nobody knows what the interests of a certain wallet are. And if we can link the interests or the reputation of a person or different aspects of a person with the wallet, then we can unlock all these new features that we've been seeing on the internet for almost 2 decades, but the features that are currently absent from Web3 platforms. So bring the people behind the wallet, link them to the wallet, allow them to express themselves on the chain, and that's when you will unlock better, more engaging experiences.
Couldn't say it better, Hira. Couldn't say it better. And individuals form communities beyond digital experiences. Carl, so when you travel or work from home, you need to stay in shape. How can digital humans and augmented reality help?
Yeah, so I think that's a big one to unpack, but there's multiple parts to it. And one of it is just being able to work out from anywhere on your own schedule. That's a massive part of it. And I think it's also about the scalability that Aaron touched on before. So it's really about just having it available to you 24/7, wherever you are. And also a big part of the shift in how we work today is working from home. And so now it's also about working out from home or wherever you're working. So just having that flexibility to be able to, you know, just step away from your work and jump in to another world, or just in your living room and work out with a personal trainer. Like maybe it's even to, you know, work on your computer desk neck and relieve some stress, and then step back into what you're doing without having to travel places, you know, without having to work in with other people's schedules. You know, you can, it's just available whenever you need it.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you might not need to travel places, but you might want to travel places. Aaron Mintpass, again, how can we connect digital experiences to the real world experience?
Yeah, we do this pretty simply at Mintpass. Like, there's, I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with PoApp, but PoApp is very not curated. It's simple, and it has its use cases. I think we go beyond that and give you something that's a little bit more curated. So if for us, like if you're traveling, you're going to want something that you remember from that location, right? Something personal to you. And so for me, the reason that Mintpass stuck out to me originally and I jumped on board is I travel around the world and I collect newspapers from the different locations I go to. And eventually I wanted to cut them up and make a map with the pieces and headlines of the newspapers I have and put it on the wall. But for me to share that and to find that with other people is difficult. But with us, we can digitize the experience and give you something based on where you've been. So it's more curated, it's more personal, you get to customize it a bit. It's actually pertinent to where you went. And so we make it easy to get that for me, it would be that newspaper and make it digital and share it with others.
That's amazing, Aaron. You see, dear audience, the open metaverse is about the digital experience, but it also extends to the real world experience and the world we know and appreciate. It acts as an extension of the world we know and love. So while we're almost getting to the end of our amazing session today and all those insights, both Aaron from Futureverse as well as all the amazing founders from Futureverse Basecamp.
We've always said that we're not building the metaverse, you are. And I think today you can see, you know, a really great cross-section of very high-quality founders who have made it through the grueling task of being selected, you know, one in 500 to come into this program and to work with us to make that vision a reality. I'm so stoked that we have these teams building, connecting and integrating with what we're doing and hopefully, you know, through what I've heard today, that we're providing the same kind of value back to them and opportunities to grow what they're doing, because that's really what it's all about. Think of the areas we touched on today, you know, usability, storytelling, payments, you know, the Vision Pro and what XR is going to mean, you know, increasing utility for gamers or gameplay options for gamers. There's a huge array of things there that will bring value and life to the Futureverse ecosystem and what's been built on en route. So kind of thank you to you, the builders. I've been in your shoes. I'm in your shoes. I know how hard it is. And we're here to support you. And hopefully the community can get behind you too and help make your dreams a reality.
Thank you, Aaron. That's an amazing call to action for all the builders in the audience. We do have to wrap it up here because I feel we can talk for ages, but we're already running widely over time. So, you know, you heard it here first. Interoperability, the open experience coming up as part of the Readyverse launcher, and of course, the amazing Futureverse Basecamp. If you're a founder building in Web3, we, Outlier Ventures, currently have applications open for free Basecamp Accelerator programs. where you have the chance to work with our world-class subject matters and our amazing network of mentors, as well as receive up to 100K investments, real-world assets base camp, AI and crypto crossover base camp, Deepin base camp. Do not hesitate and check out the website. Apply today. It's never too early to talk to us. And who knows, you might find your way to the next amazing program and one day be here, one of us with Spaces, and connect with the amazing founders. Because as you learned today, we are big on driving portfolio synergies and collaboration. So I want to thank Aaron for joining us today and talking with us and connecting with all of us in the cohort. And of course, big thank you to all those amazing founders that we have with us today that are bringing so much value to the Futureverse ecosystem and the open metaverse overall. Dear audience, make sure to keep an eye out on their progress and journeys throughout the accelerator and beyond, since they are building industry-changing solutions. Dear founders, thank you so much. And thank you, dear audience, for being with us today. That's a wrap.